Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Top of the morning, and welcome in Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan on this Thursday. May is 21 days old. Danny, how are we?
Doing all right, my friend. How about yourself? How was your day off of relaxation? It was Ferris Bueller's day off, the Grant Paulson version. What'd you do?
Well, there wasn't a lot of relaxation. So we are in this weird pandemic time where my wife actually had an appointment that she couldn't get out of. She had to be out of the house yesterday for like 90 minutes. And those 90 minutes happened to be smack dab in the middle of our show.
Right in the middle.
So basically she left at like 10:30 and she got back closer to like 12:30 because I had taken off already. So, you know, she got a couple other things done and ran to the store and whatever else she needed to, because we don't leave the house that often. But, you know, traditionally I would have just had a family member or a friend come over and watch the baby for a little while or something, and I would have gone to work. But it was daddy daycare yesterday. Nobody can come to the house. None of my family members, I wouldn't even ask them. They're all so busy being crazy about this whole thing. So, yeah, it was me and the baby, and the wife had to leave the house. Now, here's what's funny, and I actually want to get your thoughts on this. So I'm on a text chain with a couple of my buddies, including one of my brothers. Uh-huh. And they said, they texted me. They said, hey, I just turned on the radio. Why aren't you on? And I said, oh, I'm home. I'm babysitting Reagan today because she needed to be watched, and Allison had to be out of the house. And
right, she's a baby. Yeah.
There's no options. They all took issue with the fact that I called it babysitting because it's my own daughter. They said, you can't babysit your own child. It's just called being a dad. To which I said, I understand that that's part of how this works, but I think when you have to take off work and you're not able to do your actual obligation, your dad obligation, that is as much a part of the whole process as, I don't know, watching the kid. I said, it's babysitting because I'm not working and I'm just solely like following this kid around the house. And they said, no, it's only babysitting if it's not your child. Where do you weigh in on that?
I think it's only babysitting if it's not your child. Definitionally. Okay. It's the care of a child when the parents are out.
You get the difference, though, where I'm saying I'm missing work to do this, so it feels more like babysitting than just fathering.
No, I'm not upset at you. I know exactly what you were going for, and I don't know why people needed to be persnickety about it, just to let you know, actually. You got actually'd for no reason. You're just trying to make a point that you couldn't work because you had to watch your kid. Everybody got what that meant, but if we're just going strictly who's right, and again, I don't think there's any benefit to being right here, but who's correct, I think it is you're just stuck with daddy daycare. Like, you had to watch your child yesterday. There needs to be a word for that, by the way, and maybe there is. It's just parenting. But
I was
like
gonna say,
normally,
being a dad.
I'm a dad all the time. I'm a dad right now. I didn't stop being a dad because I came down here into the laundry room to flap gums with my pal. You know what I mean? So it's a weird little thing to get persnickety about, but I technically side with the mob there to say that I think it's watching a kid while the parents aren't there.
So I went to the mattress on the fight basically saying, listen, I think at 2:15 when I'm hanging out with my kid, that's being a dad. I think that at 9:47 when I'm running her around the house and playing games with her and putting on Puppy Dog Pals, that's being a dad. I think when I'm missing work to watch the baby, that you can babysit your own child. It's at a time when basically you can't be doing that at that moment, but you are that day. So that's, I don't know, that's my argument. It feels kind of flawed. I'll admit that I'm not very confident in it, but I certainly understand where you're coming from.
I don't think it holds up in court, right? If this has to go in front of a judge and they've got to weigh in on it, like the letter of the law, I think, is going to say that's not what babysitting is, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, exactly.
Here's the epiphany that I did have, though, is that there are a lot of people who are staying at home to work right now while watching kids. And you and I both have the benefit of our wives also being at home while we're on the air, and so they're doing the heavy lifting. It's a teamwork thing, right? So as soon as we get off the air, theoretically, I go up, I grab the baby, we go on a walk, we do all kinds of stuff. But for plenty of either single parents and or folks that have someone who's actually out of the house still working, you know, doing some of the really necessary, essential jobs where you can't be at home, there are people that are trying to multitask and do their job while watching a kid. Now, ours is a little bit different. It just can't be done. It's impossible. We right. have to be on air. We can't be not only distracted, but I can't be saying, hey, don't lift that thing up while we're live on the radio. So we're different, and obviously you can't both watch a kid and be on the air, which is why it took off. But I guess my point is this. They're already talking about potentially schools not coming back in the fall, you know, people having to stay home with their kids, I yep. guess, if that happens. There is no possible way that you can convince me that someone can do the same quality of work while watching their kid at home as what they would do without a kid around them in an office. You just cannot convince me of that for most professions. You also can't convince me that if you're multitasking and working while watching a kid, that you can watch that kid properly, direct the type of attention necessary to them. You're both are getting worse, I guess, is my point. And I have nothing other than an observation here. But yesterday just really drove that home for me.
I don't know. This will tick people off. And fine. I'll allow them to be ticked off at me. The most important thing in the world to me is figuring out how to get schools back in session. Perfectly fine with this spring. I understand what happened. I'm aware. I'm a citizen of the world. I get it. I know why we did what we did. I'm part of the team. I quarantined. I did all the things that were asked of me. Despite maybe a question or two here or there, I'm just rank and file. I'm just following in line, okay? I need school to be back in the fall. Right. Get mad at me if you want to. Yeah. School needs to be back in the fall. Again, I don't care what we have to do. I don't care what measures need to be taken. I don't care if I've got to give money to somebody. School needs to be back in the fall. Now, someone's going to say, what about, shh, I don't have any idea of how to do it. I'm a stupid, dumb, fat idiot that if he's in the same room as a cookie, gains 8 pounds. School needs to be back in the fall. But Danny, what? School needs to be back in the fall. My retort to anybody who asks me any follow-up questions, and I don't know how, but school needs to be back in the fall. The things that are being discussed right now don't sound like school's going to be back in the fall in the way that I need it to be back in the fall. School needs to be back in the fall. Figure out a way to do that before anything else happens. I'll vote for whoever you tell me to vote for that will get school back in the fall. I want it to be safe. I want everyone to be fine. I also need school to be back in the fall.
Yeah,
these are my criteria.
I have a lot of thoughts on this. Some of them are very reasonable. Others are a little bit more scalding. I'm not going to provide any of them. I will talk about the COVID-related things that involve sport on this show. I'll save you from the rest of my commentary and analysis because I can tell you that listening to the radio when people pretend to be experts on this who are not or give their hot takes on what should be happening, it annoys me. So I'd imagine that it'll annoy you guys.
Sure, I'm no expert.
If you ever want to get on Instagram Live and I can give you my thoughts on whether or not school should be back, I'll give you a lot of those.
You can sign up for your private feed. I love it.
Exactly. But I get it, man. I'll just say that there are a lot of people that can't do their jobs, and there's a lot of kids that you know that need school programs to eat and all kinds of things. So if we're just now perpetually maybe not doing a school thing, I don't know how when that would end or how we're going to get back on track. But as you said, I'm not smart enough to have all the answers. But I know from yesterday that, man, do I feel bad for a lot of you guys who are one, either your better half is out and about working or you're a parent who is no longer with the better half and you just have kids there and a job to do. My goodness, how are you pulling it off? Speaking of pulling things off, yesterday, NASCAR second race. By the way, I've now watched 6 hours of NASCAR consecutively.
NASCAR Pulsing.
In right now, all right? I can't promise you that I'm staying in, but I have been all in on these two races. That was a blast last night. It was great TV. Here's what I'll say for NASCAR. They do a hell of a presentation. Like, the quality of their broadcast, specifically in COVID times right now, with people set up all over the country. Mike Joy, who does their play-by-play, who's got unbelievable pipes, does a great job. Jeff Gordon, really good commentator. They have interviews with drivers right after they get out of their car at the end of the race after, you know, Kyle Busch wrecks Chase Elliott. He's talking about why. It'd be the equivalent of interviewing a pitcher as he's walking off the mound after he just hit someone on purpose to ask him if he did it so that he could lie and say that he didn't. The access is really, really good. They're interviewing guys during the race in their cars. The technology they use is amazing. I've really enjoyed it over these last two races. Now, I'm not going to sit here and wax poetic and tell you that I am, like, hooked forever or I'm Mr. NASCAR. I have no idea. Like, if the Caps played a playoff game during the biggest NASCAR race of the year, I won't watch one lap of that, probably. But for right now, with it being the only thing on TV most nights, I have been in. And last night, we actually had a lot of great TV. It felt like the old days. Did you watch any of the digitally remastered 98 Game 6 Bulls Jazz on ESPN?
I did not, my friend. I didn't know it was happening. I feel like I'm missing so many things.
That is surprising, like, you missed that. That was everywhere for a week that they were doing that.
I had no idea that was happening, and I feel terrible. I don't want to say I feel
do
guilty,
feel terrible?
I wished I had. I feel so guilty I missed
you're
it.
You're going to lose sleep about that.
I'm sure I will. But, like, it's a terrible turn of a phrase by me. But I feel terrible.
Well,
everybody's going, did you see the KBO? And I'm like, I don't know when it's on. I can't figure that out somehow. I don't know if I need to be like.
That's,
you know,
a quick Google search, bro.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Well, I'm saying, like, just in terms of I sit down and it's either, you know, Netflix time or there's no live sports. So I just kind of, I'm in my lanes right now and I'm missing a lot of stuff that I wish that I had seen. Like, I have to be browbeaten. Like, it took me days after the fact to watch that Kevin Durant Showtime documentary about PG County and all the NBA players it produced, which was a pretty cool watch. I sort of forgot that it was on Friday night. You know, I'm missing all sorts of stuff, and I'm a little bit put out by that. I need to get back on the good foot.
Well, it was great. I'll say that. It was like super zoomed in, it felt like, mm-hmm. because they had to make it HD somehow technologically, and way smarter people than me pulled that off. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like you're watching with Zoom hit four times, essentially. But right, it's the entire game. I basically just watched the fourth quarter because it was after the race last night. Mm-hmm. And, man, I mean, it was really cool. They added a lot of access and video and audio from the bench and each timeout with Phil Jackson and Jordan going back and forth. And Bob Costas was incredible calling that game. It was obviously MJ's last game in 98 with Doug Collins and Isaiah Thomas providing color. It was really, really well done. But it felt like old times last night for me. I'm flipping back and forth, watched Ultimate Tag for a couple minutes with those three very handsome Watt brothers hosting a wacky American Gladiators-style show. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was 6 months ago, man. Just great TV.
Just normal.
I was in my wheelhouse. Well, the Nationals are going to be getting their World Series rings virtually. I know you and Pete probably talked about this yesterday, but there's a development. Britt Giroli, The Athletic, had a story last night that some players are really upset because not all players are going to get their rings during this virtual ceremony at the same time. It's going to be staggered. Basically, a handful of guys might get rings during the ceremony. And we'll talk about that next on G&D right here on The Fan.
Hey, folks. Danny Ruggier here from my pals at Ted Britt Ford. I'm a Ted Britt guy, three-time Ted Britt customer right here. And someday, not too long in the distant future, I'll be a fourth-time customer. These guys are great. I love what they do. 60-plus years in business. 60-plus years making folks happy, giving great deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs to thousands and thousands of folks in the DMV. These guys are wonderful, and let them help you now during this crazy time that we're all in. They got the Built to Lend a Hand program. What does that mean for you? I'll tell you. 0% financing for 84 months on 2019 Ford models. Or $0 for 72 months on new 2020s, plus no payments for 6 months. How about some of the deals? $12,500 below the MSRP on F-250s. How about $7,900 off the MSRP on 2020 Explorers and Mustangs? $7,800 below 2019 Ranger trucks. And you could shop from home. So shop online. Over 1,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs to choose from. Complete your transaction right there online or over the phone. Ted Britt Ford, boom, delivers your new sanitized Ford right to your front door. These guys are great. Hit them up, and please tell them Danny sent you.
On Tuesday night, the Nats made an announcement, I should say. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, on 106.7 The Fan. The team is going to hold the first ever virtual ring ceremony. We are in unprecedented times, and no World Series champion has ever had to deal with what the Nationals are, which is they don't know when they're going to be back. They don't know when they're going to be able to play games again. And we certainly don't know when fans are going to be in the stands. So the Nationals originally kind of wanted to get their rings in front of everyone and celebrate with fans, but it's pretty clear at this point that if baseball comes back, which is a huge if, there will not be anyone in the crowd anyway. So do you make players wait until the following season they get rings? That seems really unreasonable. So they're going to do a virtual ring ceremony. And when I first heard about this, Danny, I thought, well, that's really a cool idea. They're producing their own documentary. They're going to release that this weekend, right before the ceremony itself, on live television, on Massinon, on MLB Network. Seems like it's a pretty cool, sweet deal. You and Pete talked about it yesterday. How did it go over with people?
So I generally, and we talked about this, how much of a hypocrite I am. I almost called you Pete, GP. I want, you know, media to be separate from teams, and I want objectivity and all these sorts of things that, like, people in our business tend to desire and a lot of fans don't care about. That just goes out the window when it's content like this. I happen to be a fan of the team also. I want it. I want every second. I want to relive it constantly. I want nothing but behind-the-scenes footage. I want commentary. I want the grown men celebrating. I want close-ups of the car celebration with Howie Kendrick and Adam Eaton and the whole nine yards. I cannot wait to see this. And we asked folks kind of just specifically what they wanted more access to, but in addition to reliving all the great moments, you know, whether it's the homers, the Juan Soto single off Josh Hader, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what are the things you want to see? And my number one seed is I want to go in depth behind the scenes on what the Nats did to prepare for the cheating, sign-stealing Astros. I want all the counter-espionage I can possibly get, because we've only heard little glimpses of it, right? Talking to Sean Doolittle, every pitcher had 10 different sign combinations that they had to run through. They didn't spend their week leading up to it just practicing baseball. They practiced, you know, like for the Cold War in 1960. I mean, it was unbelievable the stuff that they had to do, because they knew the Astros
index
were cheating
cards
the whole time.
All into their hats and things, and they're changing cadences as if someone is deciphering everything that they're doing, because the Astros, they feared, were going to be doing that via video. That would be really cool. And obviously baseball's not going to include that in their documentary, but the Nats get their crack at it now, and maybe they would. A lot of blowback over the last couple days on Major League Baseball's doc that you and I were very minimally featured in, just our voices from our radio show. I liked that documentary a whole lot. It was done not from the perspective of the Nats necessarily, but just kind of chronicling the entire series. All of a sudden, people hate it and said we needed another one. So, look, I'll take all the content I can get. I'm still watching, in 2020, pieces and production that's put together on the Caps winning the Stanley Cup 2 years ago. So I'll watch whatever you give me, as long as you give it to me many years from now. That's fine, too, on the Nationals. So I'm excited about that. But this virtual ring ceremony is kind of more what I'm curious about. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we heard all offseason from Mike Rizzo and from Davey Martinez and all the guests we had on that the Nats would be celebrating with fans whenever that was. And then I heard some people were upset yesterday on the air about them getting their rings virtually. I have no problem with the virtual ring ceremony, not including the fans, for this reason, even though they'll have access and be able to watch in a way that they couldn't before. Getting the rings oftentimes is done in private anyway. Like, the Caps had a very high-end, everyone wore suits, went to this well-lit kind of ballroom that looked like a really nice high school prom environment, where they got their rings in, like, a fancy dinner event for the whole organization. And that's how a lot of teams do it. Now, occasionally you pass out rings and you're on a line, you know, down the first baseline with your heels on the chalk, and you wave to the fans and they can see it that way. But to me, that's not really the optics of that. It's cool to see someone handed a ring, but that's less for the fans and more for the players. Right. I think the banner unfurling, there's other ways to celebrate with the fans that they ultimately will. If they just decide they're going to get together and hang a banner at Nats Park without anybody, to me, that would be a bad
look.
That's
a bummer.
To do the ring thing that is often private anyway, no problem. But here's the big story on this.
Yeah.
This is Britt Ciroli of The Athletic. Quote, multiple sources confirmed to The Athletic in Washington's televised ceremony a pre-taped event Saturday that's going to actually air on Sunday is going to occur despite the majority of the team. That means coaches, staff, broadcasters, and players not getting rings until several days later. A small pre-selected group is expected to unveil the rings instead. Now, with all due respect to, like, our buddies Charlie and Dave or Jack Hicks, You know, if those guys don't have their rings for the virtual ceremony and the players and all the coaches and front office do, it's very different. I would say that that's perfectly fine.
We'll be
but
okay.
What she wrote here is, and I'll read another paragraph, that all the players aren't getting their rings and that players are upset about this. This is, again, in The Athletic from last night. Quote, the Nationals did not mention that many of the players responsible for the title would also be looking at their rings for the first time remotely. That fact has irked some in the organization, sources told The Athletic, particularly players, as they were both excluded from the decision to proceed remotely and unaware that it would have involved that it would not involve the entire team opening their rings at the same time. So I'm just going to randomly pick names. But, like, okay. Ideally, you know, you take care of a guy like Ryan Zimmerman or a Max Scherzer. But, like, let's say those guys and a handful of others like Howie Kendrick or based on seniority, maybe Strasburg, longest tenured guys, 7 or 8 of them have their rings and they're opening them. And now I'm Adam Eaton wearing my jacket and my tie because they've asked players to, like, dress up and join Zoom. I don't have a ring to open. I'm just seeing the ring I'll eventually get as Max opens it. That puts the guys that get the rings in a bad spot. It's certainly disrespectful in some way to the guys that aren't opening the rings. Like, to me, whenever you do this, all the players and coaches and Davey and his staff, not just maybe Davey, but not every assistant, like, they should all be doing it at the same time. That seems intuitive, right?
What I don't get, and this is, again, probably above my pay grade, is why can't they do it that way? I understand not everybody's going to be on the Zoom call. Like, you're not going to have Fernando Rodney join with Scherzer and Corbin and Zimmerman and you know, and Trey Turner. I understand
why
that.
Why can't you have everyone join the
Why
Zoom
can't
call?
Everybody get it at the same time? That's the thing I don't understand.
Is it a mailing thing?
This.
You don't want to put,
I don't know.
You know, 4 dozen rings or whatever it would be for coaches, staff, and players all in the mail at once? And you know, you don't want to risk one of them not getting there or one getting stolen. I mean, I would think you have insurance or something. I don't have a good answer. And look, I'm not going to kill the Nationals for this. I'm not going to go hard in the paint for the only reason being that, yeah, they are making the most out of a horrendous situation that no team has ever been in. But Britt Giroli is saying, and the temperature that I got when just taking a temperature based on connecting some things, some dots last night, reaching out to some people in the organization with who didn't respond and who did and what a couple of guys were saying, is that there are some players that are really, really unhappy, including even some of the high-profile guys that you would think would get rings, A, because they want their teammates to get them at the same time, but B, it would put you in a really bad spot. Like, if you're Scherzer and you're on this Zoom thing, which is sponsored by Budweiser, which is on MLB Network, and you're opening your ring, this is something you've waited for your whole life. You don't want any awkwardness or any part of that to be weird. You want Eaton and Soto and Daniel Hudson and all those guys to also be getting the ring at the same time and all feel good about it.
Yeah. I'm wondering, there's got to be some reason that I don't know why that couldn't happen. I understand you can't have everybody on the Zoom call. Like if someone's in the Dominican Republic because they went home or somebody isn't available or a million different logistics. It should be, though, that the majority of their players are getting the rings. That seems to be intuitive to me, and I'm wondering why that's not. I'm sure there's an explanation, but I can't find it.
If you guys want to chime in, you can. 800-636-1067. I know a few people were bothered that the Nats are doing the ring ceremony without fans anyway. I'm not one of them because I think that could very easily, and many, many times in many sports, has already been a very private thing for the team. To me, that's the jewelry that you've earned, that you've gotten. If they want to unveil it or do something where they all wear it one day at Nats Park and show it on the big screen, that's great. But do it like the Caps did it, and whatever we get on social media, we got before. Now we actually have this televised Zoom event. We're more involved than we've been and have more access in a long, long time. So I'm cool with that. It's the thing that gets to me, though, is if the players are actually bothered, and that is what this story in The Athletic from Britt Giroli is saying, and they'll do plenty of good. It's for charity. So if I'm a player, how can I come out and speak against it? It's sponsored. It's on MLB Network. Major League Baseball's involved. And it's for Nats for Good, the community response fund that we've done stuff with during this pandemic. But supposedly guys are not thrilled. And many of them won't even get rings during this unveiling. They'll wait till several days later. They're going to see the ring for the first time, you know, on one of their teammates' fingers during this thing. Could be awkward. 800-636-1067 if you guys have a thought. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. We're discussing a Britt Ciroli piece in The Athletic that she talked to Nats players who are upset about the fact that the team is having this virtual ring ceremony. The announcement was made on Tuesday night. The ceremony is going to be this weekend. I'm excited for it and will watch it because I'm not one of the guys who just played and helped win a World Series who's not going to get a ring. But according to her report, there will be plenty of people in that boat who are going to be either involved in the Zoom or kind of just watching it like the rest of us who don't get rings during the virtual ceremony. I guess, Danny, when I originally heard about this, I thought the entire team was going to be involved. And whether you were on the Zoom call or not, everyone's getting their rings at once. Maybe they just – I was thinking about this, and my buddy texted me. Maybe there's a thing where they don't want, like, someone's ring to come before the ceremony, and they post it on Instagram. And they feel like if they only give it to 5, 6, 7, maybe 10, whatever it is, guys, that there's less of a chance of it, quote-unquote, getting spoiled or revealed. I would say to that kind of who cares – I mean, it just promotes, if anything, the event, and you tell them, hey, don't do it. And if they do, I guess so what? But also, again, we're going off this one report from Britt Ciroli who talked to some players who said they were upset. She says that they received an email, which The Athletic obtained shortly before Tuesday's public announcement, informing them of Saturday's 1 p.m. Zoom call. So they're going to tape it on Saturday, I guess, and then air it right for everyone on Sunday.
Telling them to edit it and do some stuff, yeah.
Exactly, which makes perfect sense. Telling them
on TV
to wear, quote, a white button-down shirt with a suit and jacket, end quote, and to confirm their participation by Wednesday, which was yesterday. Certainly there are bigger issues at hand in the world right now, she says. No one wants to publicly complain during a global crisis about the particulars of a celebration. The virtual ceremony will encourage fans to donate to Nats for Good, the Community Response Fund, to help the World Central Kitchen as well. She says, not waiting to celebrate in person with fans was tough but understandable. Deliberately not waiting for everyone to be able to get their rings, it's a bit tougher for the players to understand. Do you have any issue with this at all?
The only issue I've got, and it's not the type of thing that's going to prevent me from watching it, it's not the type of thing that will have me angry. You know, this isn't, you know, keeping Bruce Allen employed for 8 years too long, is I don't quite get why we couldn't get everybody their rings. And if we had to wait a couple days or another week, why not do that? That's again, I just don't understand what I don't understand here, right? If it didn't have to be this weekend, it's not like we're playing next Saturday, right? There's nothing on the calendar. Why not wait
for
everybody's
got it on the anniversary of 19 and 31? Do you think that was a driving force?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because look, I love the harmony of that, right? I mean, the irony of a year after you were 19 and 31 and only the Marlins were worst, you're celebrating your World Series rings. But if that is the reason why you can't have everyone open their box at the same time, because I kind of thought this would be an unboxing. You know, Dave Portnoy basically getting sent stuff right to his house, essentially, where everyone peels the top of the box back and looks at the ring together at once. Very, very strange, but I guess I'm not going to work myself into a huge lather until I have more information, but I'll say this is really good reporting from Britt Ciroli of The Athletic to find out that, of course, players are upset, and you know, it sounds like maybe even some of the guys who will be getting rings are upset. I mean, who has to get the ring? Let's do that. I would say if Zim doesn't have one, then nothing should
cancel
happen.
Cancel everything. Yeah.
Max, to me, Strauss, who is the World Series MVP, Howie, who is the hero of the Division Series and World Series Game 7, all need rings. But, you know, maybe this isn't even the right exercise or fair because as I think about it, like, you don't win the World Series without Trey Turner, who didn't have necessarily a moment in that series. You don't win the World Series without Adam Eaton. How incredible was he against Houston? You know, is he on the list of the guys who's going to get the ring? You don't win it without Doolittle or Hudson. That's kind of the beauty of this thing is everyone had a hand in it at some point.
Everyone had a moment.
And someone's not going to get that ring on that hand that they had in it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if Wilmer Defoe doesn't get his on time, I'll be okay. You know what I mean? Like, there are a couple of guys. Like, if Asdrubal Cabrera doesn't get his, Cabrera had a big moment, certainly, with a huge base hit against the Astros, I think to help extend the lead or at least to keep an inning alive. I don't know. Where do you draw the line? It's one of those things where You're right. I mean, to me, it's the guys that went through hell. It's all the guys that were here for a long time. And then you add in Howie Kendrick, obviously, because he's the hero of everything and should never pay for an adult beverage for the rest of his life in the greater D.C. area. But the bigger deal to me are the guys that were here for, you know, 71 and 91, or were here to help turn this thing around, or went through Matt Williams, or went through, you know, Jonathan Papelbon choking Bryce Harper. Everybody that was around for that and is here now or part of this renaissance, we need to make sure that that starting nine, that those guys that were core Nationals, right, get theirs on time. And I'm wondering, again, it's frustrating that we couldn't get everybody involved in this thing, because it's not like, unless you just thought of this on Monday, decided to do it on Tuesday, and couldn't get overnight shipping to a couple different places.
But that shouldn't have happened, is my point.
Yeah, it's so weird to me that
there was no reason to think about it on Monday and do it on Tuesday. That's unnecessary. I mean, to throw it together randomly, this is too big of an event, too big of a deal that means too much to too many people in your organization. Now, you think about, like Mike Rizzo wouldn't have. I just know Mike Rizzo. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have on Monday said, hey, we got to get the rings done on 19 and 31 day. I mean, there's no way that would have been a priority for Mike Rizzo, who wants to take care of all of his guys. But, like, yeah, to your point, if Britt's point is that Rowdy Reed or, like, Trace Barrera or James Burke, who pitched in one game, if those guys aren't getting their rings when everyone else is, with all due respect, so what?
We'll be okay.
What I'm understanding from this story is that, like, a Robles or an Eaton or a Dozier or a Turner may not, you know, that there's a handful of guys who will. And if it's not five guys getting them and it's more like 20, when there's 50 that eventually get rings that played last year or something, maybe that's a little bit different. So we'll wait for more information. But it is it's a story you should check out again in The Athletic about the virtual ring ceremony this weekend. We're G&D. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. We'll talk to Mike Stanton about this, actually, who's a three-time World Series champion, who's got three ring ceremonies under his belt. How would he feel about doing it virtually in a weird world? So we can discuss that with him. Also, it's Memorial Day weekend, whether you know it or not. A lot of events on the sports calendar typically that won't be happening. We'll talk about some of the things we're missing out on next on The Fan. Danny, I think this is going to go down as the least anticipated and probably biggest juicy nothing burger with bacon Memorial Day weekend that has probably ever existed.
Of all time.
This is normally one of the big weekends on the summer calendar. I know for me personally, we normally have a huge party at my parents' house. They live, they got like the pool and live on a creek that dumps into a river down in King George County, and we go down there and we gather around the pool and we cook out and stuff. None of that, obviously. I mean, nobody's having cookouts unless you're Quentin Dunbar, I guess, in Florida. Mm. But, man, you forget that part of it, the interaction and the parties and the beginning of summer. How about just on the sports calendar? You ready for some of the things that should be happening this weekend that are not?
Yeah, go ahead. Give me the list.
You want to play this depressing game? The Indy 500 was supposed to have been run. America's Most Famous Race has been rescheduled for August 23rd. Monaco Grand Prix, along with the aforementioned Indy 500, the Grand Prix, 24 hours of Le Mans, formed the Triple Crown for motorsport. Unlike the Indy 500, Monaco's just been outright canceled. They're not doing it. In the NHL, conference finals should have been happening. They'd be wrapping up this weekend right now, so we'd be finding out if the Caps were going to the Stanley Cup if they were still alive. The Cup final would begin early next week. In the NBA, the conference finals originally slated to begin 2 days ago, so we'd be at game two tonight, I guess, going into the weekend. Would have been in L.A. potentially. Maybe you got the Clippers and the Lakers playing for the West. How great would that have been? Maybe we get in the East, you know, Giannis trying to break through and get to the finals for the first time would have been a blast to watch. In Major League Baseball, the Astros and the Red Sox, the two teams that have most directly been involved with sign stealing.
The cheating scandal. Bowl.
Yeah, over the last 2 years. So people could be all booing and throwing things virtually, I guess, at their TVs at those two clubs. And then you've got some La Liga stuff that was going to go down. PGA Tour supposed to have had a challenge in Fort Worth, Texas. That all got pushed back. Just some of the things off of the schedule that I found on Axios, man, that would have happened this weekend that will not be.
The postseason ones are the ones that sucks. That hurts, right? This is the time. This is second only to the fall in terms of sport joy. This is the second greatest time of year, right? Is the middle to end spring championships, you know, separating men from the boys. Major League Baseball now is in full swing, and we're not overreacting to results on a daily basis because the sample size is so small. You get into the rhythms of the season. It's sort of like school is supposed to be winding down. It's very nice, and it's not very nice. We're supposed to have these things and we don't. I get why, but that stinks. That one hurt a little bit. Just knowing the information. I can put my blinders on and not have the information and be fine. Now that I have it, it didn't make me feel very good. Damn.
Yeah, there's just not much. Yeah. Will you? Well, I guess you won't. I shouldn't even ask. I thought I was just talking to some random guy, I guess. I was going to say, are you going to watch the Peyton Brady, Tiger Phil little fun golf tournament that they're having this weekend?
What
but
is,
you won't check
what
that
is
out.
That, by the way? No, not at all. It shouldn't be on television. But what is it, actually? Like,
I don't have a lot of answers for you.
Are football players just playing in it?
There's an exhibition bit where they're probably playing best ball or whatever, and they've got literally to entertain people. They've got Peyton Manning and Tom Brady playing with a couple of the best golfers of their era, and they're going to go out and have a little tournament on TV for people to
watch.
Oh,
that's a cool idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and honestly, and this is going to sound like a bit, I'd rather – I'm not going to watch it at all, obviously, because, again, it shouldn't be on television. But that's a better –
Why shouldn't it be on television? I've got to at least follow up on that.
It's a recreational activity.
There's nothing else on TV right now.
So put on juggling.
There are plenty of people who like golf.
I guess, and they're wrong, but
there are shows on TV where a bunch of wives of famous people sit around and throw things at each other.
Shouldn't be on television.
We can't
either.
Have a golf outing.
No, the other thing shouldn't be on television. So where was I going? Oh yeah, so you might not believe me, but in terms of likelihood, again, I'm still not going to watch it. It doesn't meet the threshold for entertainment. But I would rather watch that than your rank and file golf event. I'd say that much. When they're like trying to get me to care about, you know, just made up names, you know, of golfer type guys, you know, like a bunch of people that had access to golf equipment and stuff when they were growing up. I care more about this one than I would care about the normal golf event that we're supposed to pretend to care about.
Is the golf community big enough for your trolling to actually annoy them, or do you not hear from any of them ever?
No, I do. I'll get the occasion. Like, people just can't believe it that I don't enjoy something that shouldn't be on television. I just can't believe
that's my favorite thing, or I guess it's not a favorite thing. It's an observation. But one thing that I do love about your adamant nature is that if you don't like something, you don't want it on TV. So the XFL, or I guess it was the Alliance of American Football, maybe not the XFL, but like, shouldn't be on TV. Golf, I don't like it. It's not someone might like it. Someone might watch it. It just,
I don't think I said that
shouldn't
about
be on TV.
The Alliance. I don't think I said it shouldn't be on television. Did I?
Did you not file it into that category?
No, I think I said I have no intention of watching it. I have no interest in it.
Right, right.
Which is very different than I want it banned.
You didn't want it to work. You admitted you didn't want it to work.
Right. I rooted against this is always such a complicated thing for us. I rooted against the people that screamed at me when I said I'm not interested. That this here's my stance. Not terribly interested. The people that yelled at me, I rooted against them, which by transitivity meant I rooted against the league. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't begrudge a guy trying to play football. That's
so
very,
is
very
golf
reasonable
the
thing
only
to do.
Thing that makes it into your list of thing like sporting? I know it's not a sport for you, but like sporting things that you don't want on TV.
Yeah.
Are you okay with NASCAR being on TV?
Yeah, I am. Even though I'm not interested.
Right.
I actively don't think golf should be on television. Mainly, and again, this is like how it affects me because we're speaking very selfishly here. I just need an end to golf conversations because I find them just so irritating and annoying. And I need less people talking about golf. And the way to get that is no golf on television, right? It's never going to happen. Obviously, they're going to keep televising it, pretending that it's a thing. And I need that to go away. Or that's like my hope is that it goes away.
See, but you've got a goal, really an end game here. You're
right, the end game here. Yeah. My Thanos snap is that golf isn't televised anymore, and it goes back to its proper place as fun recreational activity.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Mike Stanton, a three-time World Series champion, is going to join us to talk about what he remembers from getting his ring on those three occasions and what it's going to be like for the Nats to do it virtually. That's going to be at 11:15 in 20 minutes right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.